You want to open up your Bible, we're going to be in Luke chapter 12 together this morning. But a couple of things real quickly, I've just reminded and sitting and thinking about, and there's a Christmas party tonight at the Marshall home, and if you didn't remember that, you're planning on going after evening service, we're going to be going over there. But also looking around and thinking about, we have a number of guests with us this morning that we've invited, and maybe you're the one who has invited those people. We are excited that you have chosen to be here with us this morning. We love for people to be here, and Marcus and Elise are here with us this morning. If you haven't met them, Ed's family, we are excited that you're here. We love to see you, and I mean, she is the most adorable young lady you'll ever want to see. If you haven't seen her yet, she did let me pick her up and hold her for just a minute this morning. Made my day already. But isn't it wonderful to see God's family, and we grow, and our children that God has blessed us with. And if those children can't put a smile on our face, something must be wrong with us. But what a blessing it is to be a part of God's family. This morning, I want to share with you some story. It's been wonderful the last number of weeks of looking through some of the parables of God, of Christ, as He's teaching the disciples and all those people around. And this morning in Luke chapter 12, we're going to talk about, and I don't know how your Bible is labeled, but above mine it says the rich fool. And we're going to talk about his life for just a minute. But I want you to think about the context. Before we actually get into chapter 12, think about the context of the things that are going on immediately before this. And the Lord is talking to them, and he's invited back in chapter 11 into a Pharisee's home to eat a meal. And they're there, and they watch him, and they start arguing thinking in their among themselves about he doesn't ceremonially wash his hands. And so he starts talking to them about the outside of the temple or of the body, if you will, clean. But the inside is filled with nastiness and ugliness. And he talks about those things. And he starts talking about woes. Woes unto the Pharisees for all the things that they're doing. They disregard justice and they don't love God. And he talks about those things. And he says, woe unto the lawyers in chapter 11 and verse 45. He says, woe to those lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge, and you yourselves did not enter, and you hindered those who were trying to enter. And so he's talking to all the scribes. He's talking to these Pharisees. And then in chapter 12, he continues and he gives more warnings to them about their attitudes and their lifestyles and the things that they've chosen to do. In verse 4, he also says, but my friends, he says, don't worry. His tone changes just a little bit. And he looks at those people that are sincere there and he says, don't worry about those people who can destroy the body. And so he keeps focusing on this outward appearance as opposed to the inward man and who we are and the kingdom of God. And Christ is always talking about those things all through his ministry. Don't worry about the outward appearance. Don't worry about those physical things. What's really important is what's found inside of us. Our thinking and our heart and the way we see things and the way that we embrace and the way that we love. And those are the things that we need to worry about. But they're gathered, and there are Pharisees there, and there are lawyers there, and there are scribes there, and there are disciples there, and there are normal, ordinary people are all gathered together. Now, look at verse 1. He says, under these circumstances, after so many thousands of people had gathered together that they were stepping on one another, he began to teach his disciples first of all. Now, I want you to picture yourself. I want you to go back, if you will, and I don't know if you need to close your eyes to do this or if you can just do it, but I want you to go to some place you've ever been in your life where there was a huge crowd. And I mean, it was congested, and you were shoulder to shoulder with people, and it's not very comfortable, is it? If you've ever been in a situation like that, and people, it says, are stepping on one another, and they're pushing, and things, you know, it gets to where it doesn't smell good, and just, you can imagine all the things that's going on there. And here is what Luke is saying. The crowd was so huge, the people were so compacted together, that they're stepping on one another. Now put yourself in that place for a moment, and think, here's where you are, and the Lord, the Messiah, the one who's been waiting, the people have been waiting on, is here. They're in the presence of the Creator of everything that exists. Thousands of people have gathered together, and anyone, and they're all wanting to hear something. They're all maybe wanting to touch him. They're all wanting to shake his hand. They're all wanting something from him, or just to say, I was there. What happens? You're thinking, how many of you have ever thought, boy, if I ever met a famous person, I would say, I would do. And then you actually get one day where you meet someone and you go, I don't know what to say. I just look at them and go, hi. You've heard the stories. Jesus has healed people who couldn't walk their entire life. Jesus has touched people's eyes who were blind from the day they were born and they could see. Jesus has walked on water. He has fed thousands of people from a little boy's lunch basket. He's done a lot of things, and all these people are there because they've heard it or seen it, and they want to see what this man is about. They want to hear something. They want to touch him. They want to be there. They want to be a part of something bigger than their life. And so they're all there, and they're pressing in, and all this is going on. And then we get down to the text. And Jesus starts telling the parable. And as they're gathered around, and he's talking to them. And in the middle of this crowd, as they're passing, or as they're compacted, as they're all right there, this man, who's probably been thinking what he would say, what does he say? He says, teacher, tell my brother to share with me the inheritance he's supposed to already shared with me. What? You can ask the Creator, the Lord of everything, anything that you want. He has looked you in the eye and has might as well said, what do you want to say, Ed? He's right there. And you go, tell my brother to share with me. He's not nice to me. He's not good to me. He hasn't treated me right. He hasn't given me what's mine. And you know that the brother, the eldest, is worthy, or not worthy, but has been told he gets a double portion. So if there's two brothers, the older brother is going to get 2/3 of the inheritance, and the younger one's going to get 1/3. And apparently, the older brother hasn't done what he's supposed to do. And the younger brother says, teacher, now think of all the lessons Jesus has been teaching. And he says, tell my brother to share with me. Now, I would love to think that I would have said something a lot more or a lot deeper. I'd have had that question that, you know, you always think about. This is what I really want to know. I want to know. But I'd probably been the older brother or that younger brother saying, teacher, I don't know. I hope not. But when we have audience with God every day of our life, what are we taking before Him? What is so important? What has so consumed our life that that's what we have to take before Him? God, I want you to know about this, and I want you to take care of these things in my life. And maybe they're important. And it's not easy to make it through this life financially, and this is due you. And maybe those things are important, but when we're before God, what is it that we really, that is so important to our life that we're willing to take those things to God? Is our life not deeper than the material possessions in this world? And Jesus is listening, and he's looking at this man, and I can't help but think he's thinking, that's all you have? That's all you want? That's all you need? But Jesus rebukes him, and he says, man, who appointed me judge over you? Now, we know that every knee is going to bow before him. Jesus isn't saying, I'm not the judge. He is the eternal judge. We know that. So why does he say, man, who appointed me judge over you? What he's saying is this, I refuse to allow you or anyone in this world to put me on Caesar's throne. Because this is not my duty. This is not what I'm about. Let me tell you, I am the Lord of this world. I created everything, but this is not what is laid before me. This is not the path that I have right now in my life. I'm not to sit in judgment over legal matters. There are judges to take care of those things. Jesus' focus was in one place. He's on his way to Jerusalem. And we know what's going to happen in Jerusalem. He has lived his life, and he's getting ready to offer it. The cross is his focus, and he's not going to have that focus taken away. You're not going to distract me. You're not going to stop me and say, let's go back and study the law together. Now, older brother, you know what the law says. Jesus says, I'm going to focus my attention on what I'm supposed to focus my attention on. Now, don't think that Jesus is indifferent to the plight that this man in his life. Because we know that he's not. We know through Jesus' life that he has touched people that needed to be touched. He's embraced those that needed to be embraced. He's healed people. He's loved them in ways and shown us examples. He's washed people's feet. He's taken care of needs. And in John chapter 11 and verse 35, in the shortest verse in the English Bible, simply says Jesus wept. Why? Because he was at the funeral service for someone that he loved and cared about. Jesus knows every single thing that we've ever gone through, we're ever going to go through. He's experienced the things that we struggle with. He knows those things, and he cares. The parable's not saying, I don't care about your plight. I don't care about what's going on. But a parable that he's getting ready to share with these listeners is saying, there's a focus that's most important. And I need to share that with you, my disciples, my listeners, those people who are around me. He chooses this parable. And he says this to them. Beware. Be on your guard against every form of greed. For not even when one has abundance does his life consist of his possessions. Now he's going to choose a parable, a story, that's going to impact the older brother and the younger one. And everyone else that's there in that audience that day, he's going to choose something. And he says, though, first off, he says, beware. Beware of the physical things of this life. Beware of focusing on things that you can touch, things that you can depend on, because that's not faith. Faith is in trust, and trust is in our God, and those things that can't be seen. And here's what he's talking about. These are the things that he's saying. Here we go. And he told them a parable, verse 16, saying, there was a land of a rich man that was very productive. This rich man, he had farming land, he had all this, and it was bringing him in riches. He was rolling in it. He had everything physically that this world could provide. He had all of it. And so he says in verse 17, and he, listen closely what he says, and he began reasoning with himself. Now, I don't know how that hits you, but he began reasoning to himself, saying, what shall I do? Now, reasoning is you're laying out facts and you're looking at. Now, some people can reason with themselves, come away, but that typically doesn't happen. When I begin reasoning with myself, it's myself saying, you're right. That's good. Yeah, you go ahead and go with that. That's not really reasoning. That's not really looking at it and saying, hey, I need some help. Sometimes we need someone in our life to reason with. And ultimately, we need to reason with God, as Isaiah, Jeremiah have done. But we need to reason. We need to look at and contemplate and think, is this right? Am I reasoning? Because when I'm doing it with myself, all by myself, I'm going to come up with every reason to do what I want to do, what's going to benefit me and no one else. That's why the Lord is telling this parable. And he began reasoning to himself, saying, listen what he says, what shall I do? And since I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Three verses, 45 or 48 words actually in the Greek, and 14 times he refers to himself. In three verses. What shall I do since I have no place to store my crops? This is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. 14 times he refers to himself. While he's reasoning with himself, all of the wonderful things that he has accomplished, all the things that he has, and he says, look at all this stuff, and now I have so much stuff, I can't even store it all. So I better go and tear down those little barns and build bigger ones, taller and wider and longer, so I can store more. So that I can reason with myself and say, self, you have all of these good things. So sit back, prop your feet up, watch those movies you haven't seen, and just enjoy life. Don't work. Don't plan. Don't do anything else. You deserve everything that you have. Take care of yourself. Why? You see what happens when we focus on ourselves or on the physical things. What happens? Our spiritual side starts fading, and our focus on God begins fading. And we don't see God so clearly. And we can have the creator of the world ever before us, right in front of us, looking at us and saying, what is it that you need? What is it that you want to say to me? And we can say, Lord, I don't have enough stuff. Can you give me some more? I'm not talking about when we're starving to death, and there's people in this world that are doing that. Why would this man, why would he build bigger barns? How many people were in need around him? And if he thought about the Lord and other teachings, and he says, you know, you visited me, you fed me, you clothed me, and he said, when did we do that, Lord? when you fed any of these little ones of mine, you fed me. And so that relationship, how do we go about doing this? Lord, how do we grow in this relationship with you? How do we get closer to you? How do we feed? How do we take care of? What is it that you want us to do? Give us the opportunity today to have a deeper relationship with you. And what does that look like? You see, we have the right, because our Lord is ever before us, to say at any time we want, we can talk to him about anything going on in our life. What have you chosen this week to talk to him about? What have you, when he turned and looked you in the eyes and he said, what is it that's going on in your life? What did you say to him? What have you this week, this past week, said to your God, your Father, your Lord? What have you said? Here's a question. And so the lesson that he says is, when we begin focusing on physical things, it's a covetous lifestyle that slowly starts gnawing on us, and it's something that we don't even realize because we're immersed in it every day when we live in this world. The world is filled with it. My rights, who I am, what I have, what I can do, I'm about, this is my, my 14 times in 3 verses, how much difference is there between that and the world today? And he says, be careful what you do. Be careful what you're thinking about. Beware, actually, the Lord said. Beware, because when we do that, it causes a covetous behavior. And covetousness ignores the fact that there is more to life than physical things. There are way more important things than the physical things in this life. Have you, any of you, when you woke up this morning, were you worried that there wouldn't be oxygen to breathe? Why? Because God gave it to you, didn't he? Water to drink? Everything that we need in this world, God gives us. There's more to life than the physical things. Covetous causes us to forget God. Causes us to forget who he is. And we can be in his very presence, just like all those people were the Lord, and they didn't have a clue who was ever before them. And if we get caught up in this world, we forget who God is. And it leads to a life of self-exaltation. We are greater. Sit back and enjoy life. Store up all of these things. Everything is good. And it ultimately makes us forget others around us. There's so many of them, they're stepping on one another, trying to get closer to God, trying to get closer to the Lord, so that they can get something out of him that they don't need. And he's not going to give it, because he knows they don't need it. He knows I don't need it. And it causes one to forget that all the riches that we store up, we're not going to take with us. Gil read out of Psalms a while ago, and they began by saying this, for he sees that even the wise men die, and they leave their wealth to others. Even when they name things after themselves and they build great monuments in their honor, in their own name, all of that stuff goes away. And the very last phrase of verse 17 says, when he dies, he will carry nothing with him. And I've heard, and you have, and you maybe you've seen it, maybe you've even been to memorial services where people are trying to take things with them. And I remember a story of a memorial service, a funeral, and the man that had died and passed away was in the coffin, and they had it opened up, and everyone there that was really close to him walked by, and they all put something in that coffin with him to take with him. And there was a number of men who carried a big bottle of really expensive whiskey to put in that casket so he'd have something to drink on his travels. If you were to dig that casket up today, guess what? They'd still be there. Because we're not taking anything with us. The only thing we're going to have is what we send ahead. That is that relationship with our God. Mark writes what Christ said. He says, how hard is it for the wealthy? And he's not asking a question. He says, how hard is it for the wealthy to enter the kingdom of God? And it says his disciples were looking at each other and they were contemplating and they were thinking and they were amazed at his teaching. And Jesus is watching their faces and he's watching them as it's sinking in. And so he goes on a little bit more and he says, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a wealthy man to make it into the kingdom of God into heaven. And so they're looking and they're watching and they're contemplating and they're thinking. And Peter says, we've given up everything for you. And so Peter's smiling. He says, I finally got one right. We've given up everything, Lord. And Jesus says to him, truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house, brothers, sisters, mothers, fathers, all of those, children and farms, your land, everything, that hasn't given up all of those things, but that will receive 100 times over as much in this present age. You'll have houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and farms. You'll also have persecutions. And in the age to come, eternal life. What are we waiting on in this world? And that's what the Lord is talking with all of those people that are gathered around him, and he's sharing that parable story. He's saying, don't listen to this, to the things of this world. And he says it very clearly. He looked at, as he's telling all those people, he says, he looks at that rich man, and God says, you fool, tonight your soul will be required of you. Who's going to have all of those riches? Who's going to have all of that stuff that you've accumulated? Where is it going to go? Because it's not going with you. Where are the riches in your life? Are they in a relationship with God? Now, can someone who has money make it to heaven? Sure. It's not. He doesn't say it's impossible. He says, for the majority, it's really, really difficult. But he says, if that money controls you, you'll never make it to heaven. If God has given it to you and you're faithful with it, it starts here. And if this is right, we can get this right. And that's what he is saying. One of my favorite quotes from Elizabeth Barrett Browning. She said this, earth is crammed full of heaven, and every common bush afire with God. But only those who see take off their sandals. The rest sit around and pluck blackberries. We're in the very presence of God 24 hours a day in our life. How do we see that relationship? What kind of relationship are we trying to have with him? What does he mean to us? May we never grow content with the things of this world, allowing those things to replace our relationship with Christ. And may we always be ready for God when he returns to welcome us home. Where are your riches in your life stored? Where have you stored the riches that God has blessed you with? Where are they? Are they in that relationship with him? Or are they in the things of this world? Because this world's going to go away. None of this is going with us. But how rich can we be in a relationship with God? That's the whole point. Don't worry about the physical things. Know for eternity, God wants a relationship with you. What will it be like when we walk in that city that's paved in gold? What will it be like when we're in the very presence of God? Is that the treasure that you've stored up? If you haven't, it's time to begin. It's time to start that relationship. Don't leave this morning without having that kind of relationship with God. You can, because He's offering it. What will your choice be? How will you leave this morning? With a good relationship? One that's exciting? One that you can smile about and say, I'm ready, Lord. Whenever you return, I'm ready. You can have that. So if you want that this morning, we can do that with you. If you haven't been immersed in the Christ, you haven't begun that life, you can do that this morning. You can name Christ the Lord of your life. You can become a child of God. You can do that today. Nothing is stopping that from happening but you, if you haven't done it yet. But if you're struggling in your life and you're thinking, man, I'm focused on the wrong things and I know that and I need some help, man, we will stop right now and pray with you. God is what gives us the strength and that relationship. What are you ready and willing to ask Him today? Are you ready to ask Him to love you and to accept all of that? Because He's ready to give it to you. So if you need to respond to Him, to His invitation this morning, we ask you to do it right now while we stand and we sing together.
He's just waiting in the cold. He will carry you gently.